You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
This is Michael Gineau with Insight to Israel, brought to you by America's Web Radio. And I want to thank all of the guys at America's Web Radio for bringing the truth to the United States of America, the patriot conservatives, the grassroots, about the Jewish state and their struggle for sovereignty and security. And as the Jewish people give to the world in technology, agriculture, and medicine, and the vast amounts of humanitarian work that they do all around the world that is never acknowledged by the mainstream media, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to America's Web Radio for allowing us to have Insight to Israel and to share this truth. I also want to take just a minute and say thank you to everyone in the United States, the patriot conservatives that have contributed to Hershey's for Heroes, where Americans are sending Hershey's chocolate bars with a note on each one to a soldier thanking them for defending the Jewish state. You will never know. I wish you could be here to see firsthand the look, the gratitude, the thankfulness of every soldier as they serve in this army. Look, these young people, when they come out of high school, this isn't like the United States. They don't go to university. They don't travel. They don't party. And we see the results of that in our culture in the U.S. But they automatically go into the military full well knowing that they must defend not just this Jewish state, but they know their own life depends on it. The young men serve 3 years and the young ladies serve two, and then they're out. Many of them do continue on to university and take a break and travel to Thailand and other countries. But my point being is that with the leftist media and Islamic media that work hand in hand, that do not tell the truth about this country, they are born hearing this lie constantly, thinking that the world hates them. And I am thankful to every American that takes the time, that spends the money, that comes together and puts that note on that chocolate bar. Thank you very much for doing it. We need more. If you want to find out more about Hershey's for Heroes, you can go to Hershey's for Heroes on Facebook. You can go to my Facebook page, Michael Gineau, G-A-N-O-E, or you can email me at Michael A. Gineau, G-A-N-O-E, at gmail.com. Now, we will have a website coming up in January, so I'm very thankful for that. I've had a lot of folks. I've lived on faith, like Abraham, when he sojourned into a land that he knew not. God said go, and he went. And I'm thankful to everyone that's jumped on board with Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes. With that being said, everyone that listens to Insight to Israel, this is fantastic. The radio show has been in existence since March of 2013, and out of 26,000 shows in Europe and in the United States, we are in the top 20%. Now, I think that's pretty good, and I want to say thank you to everybody that listens, but I want to thank God first and foremost that for everyone that doesn't even get paid that puts the information out there. And as volunteers. So thank you to everyone that's participated, listened to the show. So with that being said, moving forward, I am in the office in a very disputed area of Israel called in the Judean town of Efrat. Now, I've been to Efrat before several times in the over a year that I've been here, and these are fantastic people here. Simply based on the fact that, number one, you don't have to live here. You could live anywhere in this great, God-blessed, Jewish-labored land. But the folks that choose to live here do so because they are taking a stand, not just for their country, but for their land. And the fact remains is this is not about land, this dispute that goes on in the Middle East. It is about a Jewish presence. It is about Jews coming from all over the world, staking their claim, their rightful place here, and it's not wanted, period. And these folks are brave. I love them. I spent a lot of time with them. I've spent Shabbats here, And they're fantastic. And I have to say, from all the information I've gathered, some of the bravest fighters in the Israeli Defense Force come from right here in this area. And so in front of me, I have the reelected incumbent mayor of Efrat. And Mr. Oded Ravivi, mayor of Efrat, I want to say thank you for being here, sir.
Thank you.
And it is a privilege to be here and in your office. And, you know, I want to start off by...
But let me start off, okay?
Go ahead.
Talking for so long, so have a bit of the coffee so I can say something. I mean, you've started your show with an extremely long list of people that you thanked, including God, and I think you've missed one very important person, and that's the person sitting opposite me, Michael, you yourself. I mean... the fact that the radio show has been such a success, the fact that Hershey for Heroes has, you have to say that that's the way we met. I mean, I saw your picture on Facebook handing out chocolate bars for soldiers in Efrat, and that's how I got to hear about you and all the wonderful work that you're doing. So thank you, Michael, for being there and doing what you're doing. And I think we can only start the show with hoping that God finds us more people like you around the whole globe.
Yes, sir.
That will project, produce, broadcast the message that you're doing so loudly and clearly. So thank you, Michael.
Oh, you're more than welcome, sir.
Now, the stage is yours, and
hey, sometimes you have to tell me to zip it, you know, because I can get a little winded. But thank you. Thank you for that, sir. I appreciate it. I'm blessed. Every day to be in this great country. It's been a dream. As someone, I'm not even Jewish, and it's been a dream my whole life. I've studied this culture and the people and the history, and it's been an amazing experience. I'm glad I can bring it to America. So, you know, where did you grow up, sir? Let's start with that, because this is you have a very interesting background. I've worked in politics for a long time, and it's not easy.
I was born in Israel 44 years ago. Being a child, a year and a half, my parents decided to go on what we call a shlichut, on a missionary, to the States. At that time, the media wasn't as broad as it was as it is today. And basically, you want to do pause?
No, it's going good. It's fine.
Yeah, okay.
There's nothing like a little background noise to set the tone. Some construction work going on in the office.
I'll just tell you regarding construction work, and then we'll get back to my background. There was once a rabbi who I met in Israel who made Aliyah, basically. He moved over from the States to Israel from Oklahoma. And
wow.
I knew that would get you excited, but that's a true story.
I didn't know there were Jewish folks in Oklahoma.
So basically he came over and he said that ever since he moved to Israel, there are two types of noise that he doesn't hear. He doesn't hear the noise of tractors building the land of Israel, and he doesn't hear kids playing. So as long as those are the causes for noise, then we're happy to hear them.
Exactly.
So basically, at the beginning of the 70s, the media wasn't that popular. To convey messages was a bit more difficult than what it is today. And my parents were sent on a special mission to the United States to encourage youngsters to move over to Israel, to learn about Israel. Wow. So the first 3 years we were in Englewood, New Jersey, from 1971 till 1974. We came back to Israel and set our home in Jerusalem. And 4 years later, my parents were sent again, this time to London, England.
Wow.
They always say that it was in the wrong order. They should have gone first to England and then to the States, because it was a completely a bad experience going to England after being in the States. But that was the order.
Okay, I get it now.
Came back to Israel in 1980. Went through elementary school, high school, went into the army in 1987.
Wow.
Got out of the army after 4.5 years of a rank of a captain, being a commander of a troop of tanks.
Wow.
If you think about any youngster that you know, at the age of 22 to be a commander of 11 tanks, each one of them worth over $10 million.
Wow.
Not counting the value of lives that you're a commander. You can understand the amount of responsibility that these youngsters have. And you mentioned the contribution of the youngsters today of Efrat. I don't know if you're aware, but Efrat was graded in the top place last year of the amount of our youngsters who finish officers training, percentage per population.
Wow.
With the boys, we have 22.88 of the kids who go into the army that actually graduate as officers. And with the women, who are always the stronger species, the percentage is even higher. We have 24.1 of the girls finishing as officers. So it's definitely a very unique place in front. After I got out of the army, I went to study law in England. Basically, my parents were afraid that I will stay in a military career. So they they registered me to law school, and basically that was the way out of the army. Went into the to law school, graduated, got my license to practice as a lawyer. Practiced as a lawyer for 12 years. And then basically my next-door neighbor knocked on my door and said, listen, it's time that you take the hands of this city into your hands. Stood for elections and got elected as mayor. Wow. The first time 5 years ago, and the second time two months ago. Wow. That's where we are today.
You know, I want to backtrack a little bit here because about the military. I have a friend of mine who owns a company called Expert Security, and they train young people, young men who know what they want, what branch of the military, what sector they want to go into. This guy was actually in Duv Divan. His name is Roy Paled. He lives in Tel Aviv. And I just turned 43 Saturday.
Happy birthday.
Today.
You should have told me I would have bought a birthday cake.
Well, you got a birthday coming up, so on your birthday, I'll bring you one and we'll both celebrate.
No problem.
So,
And some Hershey bars with you. Okay?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So we have to don't forget the Hershey bars.
Exactly. So, I told him, I said, put me through it. I want to know what these young men, 15 to 18, go through. I want to know. I want to feel what they're feeling. Now, I'm going to feel a lot worse, obviously, because I'm older, but I'm in pretty good shape. But I'll tell you, a lot of these young men, which I'm working on a video now, but a lot of them were from Efrat.
Right.
And, you know, let me make a very valid point here. My observation, again, and I think a lot of that is, I think it can be said about Efrat. This is a religious community where there is a strong belief in God. And the same thing goes for the United States. The fact remains, as much as the left is rewriting our history, if it had not been for Hashem giving Torah to the Jewish people, I would not have a Constitution or Bill of Rights. And these are the principles that the U.S. was founded on, and the fact remains is that this is why our founding fathers in the United States were so adamant about freedom, why they had that clear understanding, that biblical understanding, and that same can be said here about the people who live in Efrat.
I think the observation you made is very true. But maybe I would like to add one more level on top of it.
Okay.
And that's that as much as we believe in God and as much as we trust God, there's also a very strong sense of feeling within the Jewish people, within the people of Israel, definitely within the people of Efrat, that we have to do our attempt to help God's desire.
Right.
We can't just sit down and say, we put our hands in God and we trust God and he'll play the cards right, that everything will end up the right way.
Absolutely.
We have to put our efforts in making sure that that's what happens. And that's why, at the end of the day, you find those youngsters who believe in God, yet willing to go not just through that physical challenge that you might be seeing when you do that film with the youngsters who prepare towards training. But I mean, my eldest went into the army, I think it's already 8 months ago.
Okay.
And he's also in tanks, wow. Funnily enough.
Wow.
And he's now in commander's course. And I'm married to Lisa, who was brought up in England, completely foreign to the experience of having a youngster leaving the house and going into the army.
Wow.
And I'll tell you what she found the most difficult thing, and when after she raised it, I understood that that's really a side which I never thought of in going into the army. First of all, because that wasn't the reality when I went in, but it's definitely, I think, a harder challenge that these youngsters go through today. We all have mobile phones.
Right.
We all attached to the world 24/7.
Absolutely.
That oldest that I'm going to tell you about, when he turned 3 years old, he was sitting in the back bench of the car, and he said to my wife and myself, "I want to speak to Grandma now." We were stuck in a traffic jam. He was in the back seat in the car, yet he's living in a world, in a reality that he understands, that he can get hold of anybody, anywhere, at any given moment.
Right.
And they turn 18, they take their clothes off, they put on a uniform, and they're not allowed to speak on those mobile phones until half an hour before bedtime. Now, you listeners, wherever you are now at the moment, okay, try and take the mobile phone, which I'm sure is either on your waist or in your backpack or on the dashboard next to you in the car. Try and turn it off for 2 hours.
Mm.
How many would you survive that experiment? Okay, now they have to go through basic training from a reality where they're free to do whatever they want to do, whether it's to go to the cinema or go to the sea, or go to the swimming pool, to reality where somebody who is only 3 months more than them in the army might have been in the same class with them, but he's already a commander, they're not.
Wow.
Tells them what to do, and not only that, you were talking about freedom, he takes from them maybe the most noticeable symbol of freedom today, that mobile phone, which has turned people into owners of radio stations, everybody's become a newspaper publisher, everybody's right. become a broadcaster of a TV channel.
Right.
And he takes them out of it. Try and think of that challenge when you talk about those youngsters.
I tell you, sir, I can't say it enough. Listen, I was raised in a military family. My father was a Green Beret in the U.S. Army. My brother-in-law, great man, just retired 35 years out of the U.S. Marines.
Wow.
My whole family, except I ended up going to seminary, thank God, because that experience has bonded me. Knowing Torah has bonded me so greatly with this. And if it hadn't been for between my mother and that experience, and then working in politics and all these other things I did, I don't know if I'd have the love. It's those seeds that were planted in my life. So my point is that when I see these young people, I'm telling you, I know what they're up against, and I know what they're going to be up against. I see it forming and shaping in the world, and I love them, sir. I have to tell you, I love them, and my heart is for them. I pray for them, and
thank
I know
you.
Americans do. So let me ask you, that was fantastic, very, very good point, because you're absolutely, wow, I couldn't have, that was just very well said, and you know, there's nothing I can say except thank you for pointing that out. That's fantastic. So what was it like for you? Now, I know you spent time overseas, but what has it been like for you? You're mayor now. You're a public servant. And many people have forgotten what that really means, especially in the United States. Especially in the United States. So I'm going to tell you, I thank God every day that I was born there. But I'm going to tell you, we're corrupt to the core in the federal government. Now, what has it been like for you now that you were born in 69? Because we're pretty much the same age here. So what was it like for you? We American, growing up, never known any sacrifice. never been through any difficulties. What was it like for you going in the military and seeing the development of this country?
You basically asked two different questions.
Right.
I mean, seeing the development of the country, my father was born in Israel, yet my grandfather moved over to Israel in 1933 from Russia.
Wow, wow.
And he got sick by a mosquito which infected people with malaria during the time that there were swamps in Israel, before the establishment of the State of Israel. And I remember as a little kid, again, sitting, this time I was sitting in the back seat in the car, and my father used to take him for tours in Jerusalem, and he used to see how the city develops and how new neighborhoods are being built up. And we were completely bored sitting in the back seat of the car. Yet my grandfather almost jumped out of the car from excitement, like, wow, more houses, more buildings. And it's funny because living today in Efrat, and every day that, thank God, the Americans have not stopped us building our town, and we're allowed to build these days after 15 years that the American administration refused to allow us to build in Efrat, and now, thank God, we are building here. When I walk around the city and I see, wow, another row of houses, another road.
Wow.
I feel the same excitement as a child. I didn't understand my grandfather experiencing then. It's something that you have to come and see. And when you told those folks back home, you know, send a Hershey bar, send a note, it's not enough. They have to come here.
Absolutely.
To see the miracle happening. Israel is a miracle not just because of its history, but also because of its presence. I mean, I don't know how many of your listeners know, Israel is the only country in the whole world where the desert is growing smaller. We're all talking about global warming. Israel, the desert, is growing smaller. Why? Because with the Jewish mind, with the Jewish technology, we've managed to develop something that in the past we used to pray for God. We used to pray for God for rain.
Right.
And somebody just brought this up to me 2 weeks ago. In the past, we used to pray for God for rain. You're now ready in this first week of December. This is the first day that we had rain in Israel. In the past, if you would have reached December without any rainwater, people used to literally die out of thirsty.
Wow.
Israel is the only country where the desert is growing smaller. Why? Because we've learned how to produce water. We have learned how to produce one of those chemical elements which we thought was a base that nobody can create. We're creating. How we're creating? Very simple. We've managed to have a technology that we take seawater and convert it into drinking water.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
We take sewage water. Okay, you're laughing just of the thought, but you're taking sewage water and you're purifying it to a level of drinking water. Now, when you think of that, that the whole water system is a closed system, and basically whatever water you have, just the rainwater adds on top of that, that's how the desert is growing smaller. So Israel is a miracle.
Right.
And when you have people coming abroad and saying to you, okay, so you know what? So we understand that the prices in Jerusalem are very high. It's basically like any other capital, like Washington, D.C., like Paris, like London. So people should move out to the outskirts. They don't understand that there are no outskirts here.
Right.
The proximity between Efrat and Jerusalem is closer than any given neighborhood between New York. Like, people don't understand when they come and see it how close everything is.
Yeah.
And how the media reports, as if, you know, like, this area can be split into a two-state solution and we're going over to politics. But President Obama wasn't here to see the proximity between Efrat and the next-door village, Wadi Nis. It's literally crossing a highway. It's a dual carriageway that you have to cross. That's the distance. And the fact that we're managing to live one next door to the other is a miracle. And it's a miracle because Michael managed to come here today, not in a bulletproof car, and not protected and not escorted by any special squad that will save his life from any injury, because we're managing to live here peacefully. And you have to come and see it in order to understand that those who create the hatred and the bloodshed and the titles as if we are living in a war zone are outsiders, are strangers who want to project a picture as if this is a battle zone. It's right. A battle zone in Camp David where they're trying to negotiate peace between parties who are not necessarily interested in making peace.
Right.
Between parties who it's important for their politics to come out with a title, "We have made peace in the Middle East," as if by that they will solve the problems of the world.
Right.
Come here, see how we manage to live next door to our Arab neighbors, to understand that the reality is, I would dare say, 180% degrees completely on the contrary
right.
to what you think it is.
You know, actually, I'm glad you said that, because I was what they call trimping. They dropped me off at the junction.
Hitchhiking.
Exactly. I was going to go to that, but I've never done that in my life. I wouldn't dare do that in the States, you know. That's how safe I feel here.
You know, you're talking about safe, and at least once a week I have a group coming from abroad to see how we live in this, like, zoo, you know. They buy tickets to see how people live in the zoo, you know, in the safari. And I tell them, you know, I've been mayor for 5 years. During those 5 years, a city of 10,000 people, there were 2 break-ins into houses reported.
Amazing.
One car was stolen, one motorbike was stolen, one tractor was stolen. How many people can their mayor say those statistics for the city that they live in?
Right.
If you'll come here Friday night, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, you will see thousands of kids walking in the streets, socializing, talking, chatting, gossiping, spreading rumors, whatever.
Hanging out.
At the end of the evening, or at the beginning of the morning, to be more accurate, they come back to their houses unharmed, untouched, unabused, just with an experience of spending time with their friends.
I've seen.
How many of you listeners can say that that's the reality in their hometown? Yet I'm living in a war zone. I'm living in a zoo, and that's the reality in which my kids are growing up. So, Michael, have you got anywhere else to suggest me to move to?
No.
I don't think you'll find a place with those statistics and with that atmosphere of upbringing. And just to conclude that point.
No, go ahead.
I said we live in a zoo, yet the zoo is not surrounded by a fence. Don't think that the kids are walking safely because we're in some sort of closed community surrounded by barbed wire, cameras, police patrol cars, that the kids can walk safely inside the town. There are absolutely no borders to this town. There's no fence surrounding it. There's no heavy military surrounding it. There's no police cars patrolling the city. That's the community in which we're living in. Now, you tell me if any of you can compete with that description, and I'll come and see your town. Otherwise, you have to come and see the town that I'm heading.
You know, I'll tell you, it's amazing, because we're going to come back. We're done with the first segment. And we're going to come back.
And you're speechless, so you have time.
I am speechless. I need to think about it, because this is amazing, exactly what you said. Listen, sir, we're going to come right back. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Insight to Israel. We'll be right back.
This is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel. Every day, the Israeli Defense Force finds itself on the front line of the war with the militant arm of Islam. Surrounded by enemies from within and without, they fight for the only Jewish state. Military service is mandatory. Ladies serving 2 years and men serving 3 right out of high school. While young people in other democracies are busy traveling or attending university, Israeli men and women gear up for basic training. In a world of heads of state, politicians, ambassadors, diplomats, and a leftist media, many times our voice at the grassroots level is drowned out. So we started an ongoing project called Hershey's for Heroes. Patriot conservatives from all over the U.S. are sending Hershey's chocolate bars with a note of thanks for defending Israel. Won't you join us by sending a sweet message to the IDF? For information, please see my Facebook page at Michael Gonneau. Thank you, God bless Patriot conservatives, and God bless Israel in her struggle for sovereignty and security.
And we're back. This is Michael Gonneau with Insight to Israel. And yum, yum, I've got a cookie in my mouth. It's great. Thank you for the hospitality, sir, the coffee and the...
I told you, Michael, thank you for coming. If you know any other blokes like you, I'll be welcoming you every single day.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because we're going to find some of those blokes in the United States. And I'm working on a project now with some folks here in Efrat, with Zahava Englard and some of these other fine folks. And we want to bring one of the projects that I'm working on for the new year, the Gentile New Year, which actually Christians should be going according to the Hebrew calendar. I'm in full conviction of that. Excuse me. Anyway, I apologize. We are going to reach out. I've already had a state senator here from South Carolina for the first time. And he was here for a week, and his eyes were opened. Never been to Israel. And it was amazing. I got the first exclusive interview with him. So our goal, Insight to Israel's goal for next year, is to reach out to every state senator and representative and bring them to Israel, give them the experience here in Efrat, give them a military experience, let Mark Pariser from the One Israel Fund take them on a tour. I'd like for them to stay overnight and do some little security on the farm, you know?
No problem. You have no idea how important it is, and I'll tell you why, okay? I think it was about 3 years ago that President Jimmy Carter came to pay a visit to
him. Anyone listening right now that knows what's going on in the world? You're not
listen,
laughing.
I'm not laughing, okay?
Right. Because you're being respectful. This is me.
Precisely.
It's my radio show. I can laugh.
Okay. So listen.
Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
President Jimmy Carter shows up in this neighborhood. And why do I mention it? Because it was a complete surprise. And what was the surprise? He came here. He saw where we were living. He saw what was happening around. And then, out of his own accord, he admitted a piece of information which was shocking.
But probably not in the media.
I don't. It doesn't really matter,
right,
okay?
Right.
But let me tell you what he said. He said this. There was a bunch of people sitting with him in a closed room. You're right, it wasn't recorded. And he asked them, do you know when was the first time I met an Arab face-to-face? Everybody was puzzled. Everybody was silent. Nobody knew the answer. And then he initiated the answer out of his own accord. The first Arab he met face-to-face was President of Egypt, Anwar Sadat,
okay,
in 1977 in Camp David.
Wow.
Okay? Now, why is that important? It's important because if any one of you look at all the memos of President Carter, how many statements did he have about the Arab-Israel conflict? How many suggestions, how many plans, how many instructions did he give regarding the Arab-Israeli conflict before the first time he met an Arab? Never mind understand the Arab mentality, never mind understand the Arab goals. But just meet an Arab and listen to his language. Listen to what he says. Now, why is that important? Because when President Obama talks about a two-state solution, I call it a satellite suggestion. It's something that looks extremely logical when you look at it from a satellite.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You look at this state of Israel, which, if I may add, I don't know how many of you have seen the maps, but it's smaller than New Jersey, which is one of the smaller states of the United States, okay? Wow. If you look at how much exposure we get in the media and in the internet and newspapers, you would think that we're at least at the size of the Soviet Union, okay? But we're smaller than New Jersey. And President Obama sits in his purple room in the White House and says, it doesn't make sense, this mess, this puzzle, Jews, Arabs, all mixed together. Let's just draw a line, put the Arabs on one side, the Jews on the other side. That's something that can only come from a satellite dish.
Right.
You have to be down here on the earth, again, to see the proximity, to see the distances, to understand the complexity, in order to understand that such suggestions are completely, they can't work. And that's why it's important for you bringing as many people as possible just to see.
Absolutely.
They don't need to hear anything. They don't need to meet anybody. Just to drive on the road and see. And once they see, they start asking questions. And when you ask questions, then you understand that the answers are more complex. And I always have a message, a very clear message, to groups that come here. And as I said, I have at least once a week a group like that. And I never say no to a group like that because it's extremely important that they come and see. And if they have time, they can also hear. But just see. But my very short and simple message to those people is 9/11 didn't happen here.
Right.
9/11 didn't happen in Efrat, in Judea and Samaria, or in the state of Israel. 9/11 happened somewhere completely far away from here. The amount of casualties on 9/11 alone, was more the amount of Jews injured from terrorist attacks from the day the State of Israel established in 1948 up until today. In one day, 9/11, there were more casualties than throughout all the terrorist attacks that Israel had suffered. Yet, people think that if they will resolve, how did he call it, a dispute area, they will resolve the dispute in the dispute area, there will be peace and quiet in the whole world.
Right.
9/11 will not repeat itself. So, you know, you're taking this show very lightly and we're laughing a lot. So let me put a bit of seriousness into it, okay?
Please.
Unfortunately, agreements like was signed, how long ago? 10 days ago with Iran?
Yeah.
That's the reason, and I pray for God that I'll be proven to be wrong. But those are the reasons why there is a chance that 9/11 will repeat itself.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct.
Forcing Israel into an agreement with leaders who have no power over their own people,
right,
and calling that a peace agreement is nothing more than signing a piece of paper, and you know we're very environmental friendly. It harms me the waste of paper that they're going to sign on.
Absolutely.
The value of the paper is not worth what they're signing.
No.
And I think that's the message. We're talking here about different beliefs, different agendas, and only once the world will understand that Israel is not alone on it. We're reaching out for allies who will understand that the motions that you've mentioned, that they were the founders of the American state, the freedom, the liberty, the right to believe in God as you want to believe in God. You don't have to force your beliefs on other people.
Right.
Islam is a different religion. They believe that they are entitled to force everybody to believe according to their belief.
Absolutely.
We are bordering with organizations like in the Gaza Strip with Hamas, who are calling to kill out Jews wherever they are in the world just because they're Jews.
Right.
Not because we're here in the state of Israel.
Right.
Not because we're disturbing their view, but just because of what my father was and what my mother was. And that's something troubling. And that's why 9/11 happened. 9/11 happened because there were other people who thought that by that they will conquer the world. They attacked the World Trade Center. It was very symbolic. They didn't just choose the Twin Towers. They attacked something which resembled a symbol. Absolutely. Something that symboled the what we're experiencing, that turning the whole globe into a small village. And they were saying, no, we want to be the rulers of that village. And that's why the American people need to wake up. That's why the Europeans need to wake up. It has nothing to do with Jews, Israel, Judea and Samaria, or Ephraim.
You know, let me, I want to clarify something for the listener. First of all, the word Arab, this is a cultural thing, is commonly used here because this is what's here, Arabs. But I'm going to clarify and go one step deeper because I've tried to, I can only be an influence. I'm not here to change anything. I'm here to tell a story. But I use the word Muslim simply because this is a global problem. You are basically ground zero, I feel like.
Right.
And if you fail, the world fails.
Precisely.
Now, that's a fact. So we look at Europe. Honestly, sir, we're so afraid to say it, and I don't want to get off on a tangent.
So I'll say that, okay, in England, in the last 3 years, the most common name for newborns is?
Muhammad.
Precisely.
Muhammad.
Okay? And the Americans are trying to tell us that if we want a Jewish state, we have to make sure that the borders are smaller because of the amount of babies born who are Jewish and Arabs, and that we might lose our majority. Go trouble Europe.
Right.
But that's not politically correct, right?
Exactly.
So that's why I could say it, and I exempt you from saying that.
No, I'll tell you, there's a lot of things I say that some of my guests are like, I have to clarify, this is not you saying it, this is Michael from Insight to Israel saying it. Look, you would be shocked, and I don't know if you know this or not, but it's been documented. Some Christian groups went in, documented, it was on Fox News, and I know people are going to roll their eyes. I don't have too many leftists listening to the show, unless they're looking for something. But Fox News was the only one that ran the story, none of the other media in the United States. We have 36 Muslim training camps right now, Islamic training camps in the United States. 36, and they do nothing. The Saudis are funding, and this is where Israel comes into play again. They are funding major colleges and universities in the States, giving them donations. And in turn, they dumb down their Islamic studies programs, take the violence out of Islam. Then they start Muslim student groups on the campus. And then they have Anti-Apartheid Week, which
brings you to Nelson Mandela.
And it amazes me. You know, the Old Testament, and I apologize that I'm a little fuzzy. It's cold outside. But I think it was Joel, the prophet Joel, that said that we will call good evil and evil good. And when you look at Mandela's life, people are ignorant. And a lot of it's self-willed, because we're all adults. If we want the truth, we'll find it. But here's a guy who stood with communists during the Cold War. Yes, he was wanting to liberate his people, but his goal was to make South Africa communist. He hung out with Fidel Castro, with the Mother Russia, and who oppressed the Jews. And then he got thrown in jail, and then he got out of jail, and he hugged the neck, kissed the face of Muammar Gaddafi. And we know what you guys were up against with Gaddafi. And hugged the neck of Yasser Arafat, who had the blood of Jews on his hands. And when he died in 2004, there's a video, you can go to the YouTube and find it. I actually meant to pull it up and play a portion of it, but I think folks need to do the research themselves, be a little smart. But he said that Yasser Arafat was an icon for the Arabic people. This boggles my mind. It boggles my mind because when I look at what you are up against, and you give, sir, I'm going to let you talk, but the American people need to know that, number one, in the schools here, in the Muslim schools, and this is the only religion that forces people 5 times a day to hear their call to prayer. I have to hear it whether I like it or not, and I'll tell you, I don't like it. But in the schools, they teach the children to hate the Jewish people, funded by the United States and the global community and the UN, the schools are, and they do it in the Gaza. And you,
why in Gaza? They look at, do it here across the road.
Yeah, and you give 60% of the electric and water that goes into the Gaza comes from Ascalon at the expense of the Jewish people for free, and you pay the higher price. Now, there's a lot of things you do for the Muslims here, and I'm grateful. You guys are giving. I tell you, you're a lot giving than I would be.
I don't know if you heard the defense minister. He came out in a headline this week. He was doing a tour up at north, and we all know what's happening in Syria and what bloodshed there is in Syria and what type of weapons they're using against civilians there. And he said it's obvious and it's well known that the Israeli government has already helped 100 women to cross the border from Syria to Israel to give birth in Israeli hospitals.
Amazing.
Syria
Amazing.
Is a bordering country which wants to destroy the Strait of Israel.
Yeah.
But...
both sides.
But that's what we do. Why? Because that's the way we were brought up. That's what we believe. At the end of the day, we believe that human life is above all.
Absolutely.
And you're bringing all sorts of names of leaders from all over the world, and Nelson Mandela, who passed away in the beginning of the week. I don't like to judge people, and I don't like to say whether they're good or bad. I believe that I have to do what I have to do in order to try and live in a better world.
Right.
It hurts me to hear how leaders use political games globally in order to try and achieve their own goal.
Right.
And at the end of the day, you know what? When you point a finger at somebody, and it's a shame that the listeners can't see what I'm going to show you now, but use your imagination, because it's a very simple, well-known thing that we're doing with our fingers. When we point one finger at somebody else, automatically you point three fingers upon yourself.
Right.
Okay, try it.
Right.
And you'll see, okay? How many times do we like to blame others?
Right.
And are afraid of looking in the mirror and saying, what are we to blame? And you describe the relationship of what Israel is doing and what Israel is doing. And you know what? You are pointing a finger at Israel, what you're doing. At the same time, we should really point three fingers at ourselves and say, where did we go wrong? And in a way, we're giving a cheek after cheek, even though the first one was slapped. Why? Because we pray three times a day at least that we want peace and we believe in peace. And that's our only goal.
Yeah.
We're not trying to conquer more land, and we're not trying to take oil from the Arabs, and we don't want their money.
And you've got your own oil.
Yeah, we just want to live quietly.
Right.
And I think if leaders will take that upon themselves as a challenge to try and see how one can live alongside the other without having to give any sacrifice, without having to pay prices, which at the end of the day, they don't prove themselves. You know, when Israel has to pay, Israel has to release terrorists who killed innocent civilians in order to prove that it's serious about wanting peace. Was that logical to you?
No.
I fail to see the logic behind it.
Yeah.
Yet...
never do it in the United States. They never do it in the United States.
Yet, that's a demand of the President of the United States, who went up on board Air Force One, took all his crew over to the State of Israel, to say to a Prime Minister who wasn't elected by President Obama,
right,
you follow my instructions now, start releasing terrorists in order to prove that you want peace.
It's mind-numbing. It doesn't even make sense. And I think concerning that, I actually was at the prison where they were protesting. I did a live stream video so Americans could see firsthand what was, and that was recorded also, but I did a live stream video so Americans could see firsthand. And a lot of, this is something new that I've started,
But the people that did come on, they said, you know, we'll never see this in the mainstream media. Never see it. And I feel for those people. The Mendel family lives right here.
What?
In Efrat. And they never found the murderers of their son, who brutally, brutally, bloodily, I can't even describe it. Just the way they murdered him. And they never.
I don't know if your broadcast, your listeners can listen to this, but he was 14 years old. He ditched school because he wanted to go out to the nature with a friend. And he was found, I think, 24 hours later, stoned to death.
In a cave. They found him in a cave.
In a cave. Stoned to death.
And it was so bad that his blood was splattered on the walls from what I heard.
You don't have to elaborate in the descriptions. Right. Just think, what does it mean to be stoned to death? It's something that we're reading in the Bible that happened 5,000 years ago. Today people are debating whether a death sentence is something human to do or not, and in what mechanisms to do it. This poor child was stoned to death.
Amazing. You know,
and yet, we need to make peace with those people.
Right, absolutely. And that's the thing, that is the dichotomy. I was actually a woman who picked me up from hitchhiking. Very nice lady, very nice, just folks, just great. And I said, you know, when I look at what the Jewish people have done, I wish I could have met your grandfather and shook his hand, because I've read about the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth Aliyah, about the Haganah, Palmach, and Edsel. Wow. I actually had a man from the Palmach on the radio show. Cool. Lived down in Holland. I had him on twice. It was that good. Like, I couldn't get enough of it. But when I look at what the Jewish people have done in 65 years, and you know, I had to correct a woman down in Tel Aviv, sometimes, like I always seem to have to do sometimes. But she said, no, we don't call this the Jewish state. I'm proud to call it that as someone who's non-Jewish. I'm proud of what you've done here. And she said, well, we don't call it the Jewish state because we're very diverse. Well, I appreciate that and respect that. It was Jewish blood that was spilled on this soil to maintain what you have.
Right.
And I'm proud to call it that. So my point being is that this nice lady gave me a ride, and I was looking around. And I always do this. And you talked about building. You know, Sarah Palin once said, and the leftist media ostracized that woman. She's a very intelligent woman, and they disgusted me. I was actually a staffer on the McCain-Palin campaign in '08, but she was a brilliant woman. She said, drill, baby, drill. And every time, sir, when I travel this great Jewish state, when I see a crane, I get excited. Yeah. And I take a picture and post on my Facebook page, and I say, build, baby, build. And I look at what the Jewish people have done in 65 years, and I think to myself, you know what? I would think, when I look at the countries in and around this Jewish state that are still living in the 18th century, most of them, giving nothing to the world. I had a guy come on my Facebook page and said, well, Islam gave algebra. I was like, okay. Well, I'm sorry. If he hadn't done it, I'm going to say this proudly. If he hadn't done it, I think that a Jewish fellow would have, or a lady, you know? But I said, ma'am, you know what? These folks in these surrounding countries need just take a hint. Stop all your bloodshed, your war. Look, the Sunni and Shia kill each other for power. They'll take a coffee break to kill a Jew and a Christian any day. Now, that's just a fact. And anybody ever wants to debate that with me, I'd be more than happy to do it. Anyway, I just look and I think, my, you think these folks would just say thank you? Their children live in a land of peace. Children walk down the street, play in packs in grammar school. At the end of the day, you can't even do that in my small hometown of West Virginia.
Right.
I think it's amazing. Amazing.
Yep. So they need to come over. You see.
Yeah, we're going to get them here, sir.
No problem.
We are going to get them here. So okay. So what has it been like for you? When I've been in a fraud, I can't say enough. Hospitality. I feel like I'm in a big bed and breakfast when I come here. So what's it been like to be mayor?
Extremely challenging.
I'm sure.
Surprising in a way. to be frank and honest, when I first thought of running for mayor, I thought of that I'll be like the manager of the city, that I'll have to run the day-to-day life. And a day after I get elected, I have all sorts of people like you coming and asking me political questions about my political views, political arguments. I've all of a sudden become an unofficial spokesman of the Israeli government or against the Israeli government, for building freeze, against building freeze. And it's definitely something completely unexpected by me as to the role that I need to play as a mayor. But it just added another level of interest and challenge, and also an eye-opener for how important it is to convey that message that 9/11 didn't happen here.
Right. No, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that this just came to my mind. I think of my hometown, and how great would it be to bring other mayors here?
Definitely.
Along with that, and let them see. I can't imagine what you have to deal with because... Look, I worked in politics for about 15 years, and I'll be honest with you, sir. My mother told me one time, about 6 months after I came here, I've been over a year now, she said, I'm so happy you got out of Washington because you were getting bitter and hard. And I said, because I saw the corruption.
Right.
And I'm just one guy. And I thought, I stood up to some of the stuff. And I've had, even the Republican Party had people come to me and say, you know what, you're offending me and some of my friends. And I said, listen, what I'm telling is the truth. The problem is you folks have just watered it down so much, you haven't got a back. You wouldn't have a backbone if I Velcroed you to a tree, you know? And that's what's happened. So, but I will say that being here among the people, even when I see what the media says, when I see these soldiers and I know what they're up against, I have to say, sir, thank you for welcoming me, into your country, because I'm the happiest I've ever been in my life.
So then, as we open the program, we thank you, Michael. We see, I mean, Abraham taught us that lesson, that we have to welcome anybody, even though we don't know their whereabouts or their destiny or their intentions. And that's what we try and do. We try and welcome everybody because we are short of friends, we are short of allies. And anybody who is willing to come and cross the line and come over here and just see.
Right.
Not even promise that he's going to be an ambassador the day after, but just come and see. We are more than committed to welcome them and open our homes for.
Well, like I said, it's one big bed and breakfast every time I come up here. So, sir, do you have a website that folks can go to?
We have a website of the town, but that's basically stories about what's happening in the city.
Okay.
They can look me up on Facebook.
I will do that.
And anybody wants to find out information, has questions, thinks that I've given misleading information, inaccurate information, and wants to challenge me with any questions that they think they would like to know the answers from firsthand and not through rumors, I'll be more than happy to try and help and address them. So just look up Oded, that's O-D-E-D, Revivi, R-E-V-I-V-I, on Facebook, and I'll be more than happy to accept your friend request and start a friendship from there.
Sounds good. And I'll even post information about Efrat.
Excellent.
And I want to say thank you, sir.
Thank you.
No, you're more than welcome. It's a privilege being here. I want to say thank you to everyone that listens to America's Web Radio and Insight to Israel. We are in a very special time in the United States right now. We're headed up for the Christmas season. I want to say that, would you please, I'm asking, I stay up a lot of hours asking for Hershey's for Heroes because there's a time change. And I want to say send a box, 1 36-count kosher box. You'll find all the information on Hershey's for Heroes on Facebook to the soldiers and let them know you care because I believe in you folks in the United States. Thank you for listening. God bless the patriot conservatives in the United States of America that stand for truth and freedom and constitutional principles, and even the good book, if I could use that term. And God bless Israel in her struggle for sovereignty and security and her greatness.
Thank you.